This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you have done a phenomenal job.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Now let me throw a couple at you. What's your name?
Don.
Don.
Bang, bang!
Don, you understand what I'm saying?
No, I'm out.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
Huh? Hello? What?
What's up, homies?
Hi, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN, which is sponsored by the All-American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. All-American Ford has the largest selection and best prices with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
If you're going to rock with us, then rock with us.
And then we'll also say good evening to Don.
He doesn't know, and it's sad because he thinks he knows, which makes him dangerous.
So we spent a lot of time over the last couple hours talking about the Mets from an ownership standpoint, from a Zach Wheeler standpoint. Then we talked a bit about the Yankees and the pursuit of Garrett Cole. Will it happen? We've now spent a few hours away from what we thought was going to be the biggest story of the day, and that is that Eli Manning is likely back at the helm for the New York Giants. Daniel Jones apparently has a high ankle sprain. He is unlikely to play Monday night against the Eagles. So Pat Shurmur says Manning was, quote, very likely to get the start. Of course, Eli has not played since week 2. He's been sitting on the bench the whole time. And today he was asked about the possibility of being the starter again.
Well, you know, obviously we'll see what happens Monday, but, just business as usual in the sense of, get the game plan, start prepping from Philly, going against a good defense, but also a defense we've, faced a number of years and know them well. And so just got to, just get back, into the mix with the, with the offensive line and receivers and make sure timing's where it needs to be.
He's such a beautiful orator. Eli?
Well, it's a tough spot for him because it's not guaranteed that he's going to play Monday. He's likely going to play.
That is, but by the way, wasn't that a little strange from Shurmur? I guess that's how you have to handle it at this point. Well, they don't just know.
He doesn't make anything easy.
High ankle sprain, can't you just be like, no, the kid's not playing?
It's only Wednesday. The game is Monday.
Quite frankly.
So he was probably pressed on what the situation is. Likely he's going to play, but, there's still the possibility Jones can go, so it's awkward for Eli.
Quite frankly.
But this is a struggling Eagles team. If Eli plays well, even if they lose, if you're Shurmur, do you give Eli the start against Miami at home as like a goodbye start?
I believe that will go from upstairs. I mean, Shurmur probably will do anything to get another year at this. And if John Mara said, you're playing Eli, give the kid another game. You're playing Eli at home. I think it's going to come from up
and,
high.
It is a business, right? I mean, at the bottom line, do the Giants want to have a half empty building? Because that's what you're going to have, right? If you lose to Philadelphia, you're talking what, 9 straight losses?
Yep.
You're taking on a Miami team that's out of it, right? Some nondescript 1 o'clock start, probably cold, getting close to Christmas. You're probably looking at, every ticket sold, but probably 40,000 people in the building. But if you announce that Eli's starting and it's likely going to be the last time he's ever going to play in a Giant uniform, you kind of create some buzz, right? It would be the end of the world. Like, I think Jones has to start every game he can, but in the grand scheme of things, if one game goes to Eli just for a thank you, is it awful a thing to do?
And because I really believe that Eli would not have accepted being thrown a bone and start the last game. So this is the perfect way for him to get that game in because the guy is injured. And
right.
So a high ankle sprain, it took Saquon Barkley 3 weeks to get back. Probably should have been longer. Maybe. And this is a little less severe, but still, it's probably more than a week. And this is a great way to get Eli that game that he deserves.
You're right, because there's the unknown of the injury, right? But let's just say for sake of argument, Jones can go. But it's not the end of the world to keep him out another week because he is not 100%. You leave it to how Eli plays against Philadelphia. If he looks awful and rusty and terrible and you lose by 30, Jones is okay to go against Miami and then that's it.
If Eli looks good, gives you a chance to win.
Eli's good, it's like, we're going to give Jones another week.
I still want him to win all 4 games.
I mean, it's not impossible because Miami and Washington.
The order is at the Eagles. home Miami at the Washington.
At the Washington Redskins
and home Eagles. Now, so at Eagles, home Miami, at Washington, home Eagles.
Now, Andrew, you would agree, right, that if Philadelphia is mathematically eliminated in Week 17, they're probably not going to start anybody in Week 17. Wentz probably won't go. It'll just be a mail-in last week of the season if they are eliminated.
Maybe. I don't know if that's true, necessarily.
Well, certainly there won't be much of a
passion play. There'll be no hype around the game.
You know,
it won't matter.
If you say, let's say they beat, which is a huge, huge if, because as bad as Philadelphia is playing, they're still much better than the Giants.
That's true.
But let's say they pull it out, just law of averages, the Giants step in it, win a game against Philadelphia. They can beat Miami, they can beat Washington, and if Philadelphia is out of it.
Think about what you just said, though. Philadelphia is still much better than the Giants. Philadelphia just lost to Miami.
I know.
Miami can definitely
beat
the
Giants. Not even, you know, we're painting this picture like, oh, let Eli go out throwing for 400 yards. Miami right now is better than the Giants. They got a better record.
The Redskins, by the way, had like a 7 or 8 sacks on Sunday. The defense is actually starting to play like the defense they were. They've won 2 straight. All of these teams right now are playing better than the Giants. Every single team on the schedule.
You would have to admit as a Redskins
fan. Except for maybe the Eagles.
That if there's a team that does seem to give the Redskins trouble, it's the Giants. I mean, the Giants actually play them well, even in the worst case scenario.
There's not one game on this schedule where if it's a Giants fan, you're going, we should win?
No, you could very easily lose all 4. But how does it look, guys, if Eli wins all 4?
Tremendous.
You benched them after 2 weeks because you thought the team was awful.
But that's it. It's so unlikely, Don. Let's be honest. We're fantasizing.
You know what's going to happen?
The quarterback is not the reason they've lost these games.
And Eli wasn't benched because he was playing poorly. The team just stunk. So if I had to guess what's going to happen, they'd probably go 2-2, 1-3 if Eli played in all 4. Eli plays well. It's not his fault, but the team's not any good. The defense gives up late touchdowns or whatever. That's what killed them the first 2 weeks. Eli was okay. Wasn't amazing, but he was okay. Just the defense couldn't stop anybody. And that's been the theme all year long.
You know what Don did today, Peter? I don't know if you realize this. You were on here earlier. He went Christmas shopping. He went to a record store. Why?
I love that. Good for him.
There's an awkward situation going on. I feel bad for them. Is FYE is in transition.
Record store, Jace.
Well, I'm saying it's in transition.
He didn't go to a vinyl store.
No, I thought you meant like.
No, he went to 80s jersey.
No, but FYE, they're in transition because FYE, what did they sell? They sold DVDs and CDs. Well, now neither of those things are really in demand right now.
No.
So they're transitioning.
What are they trying to do over there? Books?
Again,
a little everything.
Vintage albums, like re-releases of like old Beatle albums and stuff.
On everything, like vinyl,
tchotchkes here and there that you can buy, a little like bobbleheads and stuff. I mean, they're in transition. But I wanted to walk the mall.
Very 80s jersey.
Everybody else is. They're so down brick and mortar. But not Don.
I
got to
tell you.
Not Don.
Was in Paramus Park Mall.
Love
it. I got to see the Stu Leonard's that they opened up there. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
There used to be a Sears there.
Right.
Now, you've never been to Paramus Park, I'm sure, but you can picture how big a Sears is.
Gigantic.
They took over the entire Sears and then some.
I'm a big Stu Leonard's fan.
So it was,
Stu Leonard's is that
it
big.
It was amazing.
It's
and
enormous.
Then right outside the Stu Leonard's, they had a section of the parking lot selling Christmas trees. Very festive.
So Don will not put up a Christmas tree, by the way. He thinks the kids will knock it over.
I know, I heard.
Well, I know the kids will knock it over. And Marco will get stuck going after the star. So I walked through the mall. It was nice. Get some steps in. I bought some gifts. And recognized by several people that were fans of the show.
Of course. You're Don LaGreca.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
We're big in Jersey, man. You got to turn things around.
Aren't we doing our Christmas show in Jersey?
Exactly. What do you mean?
He's been known not to do Jersey.
You know what? Talk about a guy hanging on the rim about something I said in jest 18 years ago. I practically live in Jersey.
It's not true. Anyways, so Don, you just enjoyed them all. You walked around. You saw an FYE.
And I did see
a bird now loose. There's a bird loose in the mall.
And you walked in the FYE, and what happened?
It was an experience.
It was tough.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Bought a Slayer album.
It's like a Sopranos box set left sitting there.
But that's what I'm talking about. Like if you wanted to get like season 4 of Lost,
a Stewie,
it's there.
A Stewie bobblehead.
Gladiator is 34.
They're in transition, is what I'm saying. If you need it, I'll say this. If you need a stocking stuffer, that's the place to go.
God, nice.
Do you buy anything?
No.
In the mall?
Oh yeah.
Oh, you did.
Oh,
something for the kids or for Nancy?
I took care of Several people.
Really? Get anything for me?
No.
Okay. Go on, Pete.
They're very difficult to shop for.
Yeah. What do you get the man?
You just wrap a stack of 50s.
Did you just say that about yourself?
Yes.
You said, what do you get the man about himself? You don't hear that every day.
That's why I said it.
We had Jeff Passan on earlier.
Oh, was he good?
He talked about the decision for the Mets to sell.
I think that Fred's age had a lot to do with it. I think, as Joel Sherman said, the succession plan had a lot to do with it. You know, the idea of Jeff Wilpon running the New York Mets was not entirely palatable to a number of family members involved. And I don't know if you guys do watch Succession on HBO. It is a great show. And
it really is.
You know, some of the things that were at play with the New York Mets are at play with the Roy family, only that's fiction and this is reality. And it is the best thing that could have happened for New York Mets fans who have been waiting for this day for what seems like decades now.
So now Steve Cohen over the next 5 years will take over this team. The transaction has the team valued at around $2.6 billion, and Cohen is a Wall Street figure, has some controversy in his past, Michael. Supposedly, some say the inspiration for the show Billions.
No, not supposedly. He is.
He's 100%.
He is the inspiration for the Damian Lewis character, Bobby Axelrod.
Which is so funny, though, because Axelrod doesn't strike me as Jewish on the show. Although, the name Axelrod's Jewish, right?
No, I don't believe it is.
I know of an Axelrod. David Axelrod, I know, is Jewish.
Really?
But the character...
Is that the former Barack Obama?
Yes, I believe he's Jewish. However... Axelrod on the show doesn't appear to be Jewish.
No.
And
it's just based on him. It's not a documentary.
Jumping out on a limb and assuming Steve Cohen is in fact Jewish.
Don't know.
That's what I'm going to go ahead and make an assumption.
Now, Joel Sherman and his tweeted, it's amazing. It's not going to be great at the holidays. Saul Katz, who is an equal owner.
Also Jewish,
right,
by the way.
Equal owner with Wilpon. And the thought was that when Fred was no longer with us, Saul and his family are going to sell the team. Didn't matter what Jeff wanted. And Joel said that Saul Katz's kids wanted no part of being in business with Jeff Wilpon. That's
wow.
Why the sale happened. And a happy Thanksgiving to you.
Nice.
So, over the next 5 years, the Wilpons will lose their control. Now, let's move on to Zach Wheeler, who is now in Philly. Here's Jeff Passan again on the show early. You can hear the podcast right now, wherever you find podcasts, or shortly on the Zach Wheeler signing.
Zach Wheeler was the best of the second tier pitchers. You know, him and Madison Bumgarner sort of occupy that second tier together. And Wheeler was the upside play, the guy who has incredible stuff and hasn't quite harnessed it at an elite level yet. And getting $118 million is an absolute coup for him. Let's remember, Zach Wheeler, when he got hurt before the trade deadline last year, it was like, man, this guy who's historically had arm problems has another going into his free agent year. That's going to be devastating. Well, he ended up coming back, pitched pretty well, and here we go. You know, almost $24 million a year later, he's going to the Phillies.
So there you have it. Zach
Wheeler. A lot of money for Zach Wheeler.
Rich, rich man. But maybe the number two starter in Philadelphia now.
And there were teams that wanted him and were offering more money. He did the Phillies because he married a woman from New Jersey. He wanted to be closer to home.
Now, you want to talk about the top four in the college football rankings?
Sure, why not? We've done football today, college football.
Number one would be?
LSU? No, LSU's not number one.
The
Ohio State.
Number two would be?
LSU.
Number three?
Can I go to four first?
Sure.
Georgia.
Yep, that's right.
Georgia's four.
That's
so
right.
The number three team is also undefeated.
So Clemson?
Yeah.
Nice job. Very nice job.
We know college football.
You really do.
Number five right now is Utah.
That's correct.
So imagine them making the playoffs.
Well, you know what's also bad about
the
system? There's four playoff teams.
Sure.
There's five major conferences.
That's right.
Somebody's always going to be ticked off. Somebody's going to win a major conference and not make this group.
Right.
And then there's Notre Dame that sits out alone, but this year they're not good enough to be considered. So sometimes there's two major conferences that are on the outside looking in.
You want to hear from Tua Tagovailoa?
Sure, I'd love to.
This is Tua, his tough decision about whether he should still try to enter the NFL draft, given the injuries and the tough year that he's had.
When I come back, the risk is, you know, what if I get hurt again? But the reward could be, you know, maybe I jump back to the top of the charts, you know, on the boards, you know, for all these teams. Now you look at the other side of the spectrum, if I leave, oh, the risk is, you know, do I still go in the first round? Or, you know, do I even make it to the second round? And, I mean, these guys don't even know, you know, if I can play with, you know, the hip injury yet, too. And then, you know, I'd say the reward and all of that is, you know, yeah, I'll be getting paid millions, but, I mean, a lot of the money that I could have made, you can't make that money up now. You know, what I feel is, you know, heavy on my heart that is the right thing to do for me, then, you know, I'll do it whether it's tomorrow, you know, or on the 20th of January, then, you know, that'll be it.
I think I'd go back if I were him.
He sounds like that's where he's leaning, no?
Yeah, and I think I saw that Mel Kiper has him projected being the 6th pick, Todd McShay the 13th pick, which isn't terrible, obviously, but he was thought to be the number 1 pick. Obviously, any team that he's going to have to go to the combine, they're going to have to see his
here's the thing, though.
Medicals.
In football, does it really matter to go 6 or 13 versus 1?
It's not that much.
Like, how much is it going to affect your life long term? If you know you're going to be able to play in the NFL and you're confident in what you can do, it feels like there's more risk.
Well, I mean, you do lose millions, but it's not like you lose hundreds of millions.
Right. But right. If you start dropping to the second round, which is always a possibility.
And people start hearing things and about the injury.
And they look at the medicals and go, oh, this is the Bo Jackson injury. So, I think it's all according to what the doctors say. They say he's going to be better than ever. So if he's better than ever, does it matter if you go first? He could come back next year and win a national title, a Heisman Trophy, and be the number one pick. This year, everything's in doubt.
Luka Doncic continues to roll. Yesterday, career high 18 rebounds, 33 points, 18 boards. He is only the third player to pull off 33 and 18 before his 21st birthday.
He's good.
He nice. Here's a moment that was pretty interesting last night in the Rockets game. Don specifically wanted to talk about this in the Rockets Spurs double OT Rockets loss yesterday. Here's 7:90 a.m.
So there's a steal for Harden. The guy on the court almost gets in the way, and that is going to be a miss for James Harden. Ball is loose, and it's going to go out of bounds. The guy that was on the floor was cleaning up the floor with the mop. James thinks the basket is good because the net got caught in with the basket. He's saying that's a good basket. James Capers is having to explain it. This is a very awkward situation.
Hey, I gotta watch it because they're playing football. They're playing football.
That's
same announcement.
There was a little to Pittsburgh.
It was a little bit of that at the beginning.
The guy, I mean, was that TV or radio?
Radio.
Well, so there's a steal for Harden. The guy on the court almost gets in the way, and that is going to be a miss for James Harden.
I think he's a guy cleaning the court. I don't know his name. Do you know his name?
Yeah, but on the floor.
You say the guy in the court, it could be Sirhan Sirhan. You have no idea.
But in defense, Michael, you can't prepare. I got to do my notes. All right, who's the guy that cleans the floor?
I'm not saying Steve. Billy's on the court, but you could say the guy cleaning the court is on the court. The guy on the court, it could be anybody.
So apparently, Harden jams the ball, and it ends up going all the way through the cylinder, but then catching on the net and coming back out.
Right. No. It looks like it came out. Never did. It looked visually as if it never went in and then came out, but it got caught up in the net. It's hard to explain.
So it did go completely through
it
and then wrap
completely
back around.
Through and wrapped
and they
around.
Didn't get the 2 points.
But they didn't count it.
And some people are saying that the NBA will uphold it. And
they are now going to full on protest this.
Yeah, but they can't because they have to do it within an allotted amount of time to protest.
Right.
And they were arguing, and the allotted amount of time went by. So
it said the Rockets are hopeful the league office will either award the win to Houston.
Yeah, good chance.
Because the Rockets then outscored the Spurs in regulation, or that the final 7 minutes and 50 seconds will be replayed at a later date.
So just do that. That'd be so cool for the league.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen, Michael, but maybe these things should start to happen.
It's just an extra 20 minutes before the game starts.
They're not going to do it.
But they should, is what we're saying, because that would be very entertaining.
Just so you could be entertained.
Well, yeah, that's what it's all about, right? Well, isn't that what sports is supposed to be about, entertainment?
It's about winning.
Right, and apparently who won is subject to opinion, the way it went down.
I like what
Don's... There's a guy on the court.
I like what Don's saying.
Entertain me, clowns.
Like, we always go through these protests.
Entertain me,
clowns.
The only time in my life that I ever saw a game continued because of protest was, of course, the George Brett home run.
I'd like to ask you a question. If you get this, it will impress me to no end.
Well, who's pitching for the Yankees?
No. Who was the home plate umpire that George Brett was charging toward?
Wow.
I only remember Dutch Renner.
The guy is on the court.
It's the same guy?
Hey, I got watching the ball.
I remember the funniest thing about that when they replayed from that moment was, and I don't know why, maybe just the center of attention, or maybe he got some inside information, where Billy Martin had whoever was pitching appeal at every base.
True, and he also, I believe he had Ron Guidry playing center field.
Yeah,
it was completely mocked, the whole thing.
It was a mock, but it's something that, you know, 35, 36 years later, you remember. So if you go back and play the final 7 minutes of this, it becomes memorable. You stick it on television, people would watch it.
Well, I'm telling you, man. At least they'd watch some NBA
game. Entertain me, clowns.
Now, so you're going to be going to a lot of cocktail parties for Christmas.
Of
you get invited. You and Nancy are
very,
very
popular.
So you're standing there. You got a little old fashioned in your hand.
Of course he does.
Right?
He loves it.
And people are crowded around you because they want to hear you tell stories.
Well,
and
got
you
stories
can tell
for days.
Them, by the way, the umpire in the George Brett game from home plate, Tim McClelland.
Okay. You know what? I don't know.
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
I never saw anybody so mad on a baseball field than George Brett was.
If I ever interviewed George Brett on center stage, I go, what were you trying to accomplish? If you had gotten to McClelland, would you have killed him?
I like what Don said there, because it was like the most obvious thing in the history of baseball.
Which is what?
He's just like, I'll tell you what, that George Brett was red hot. You think? It's literally like the poster for angry.
Right.
It's a man losing his mind.
Somebody actually gave that to me as a gift. I have it framed downstairs in my house. A picture of George Brett freaking out, running, trying to attack
Tim
McClelland. It's signed by George Brett.
That's fantastic.
I have great admiration for your gift.
Where is Morris? We haven't heard from him in a while.
No.
I get worried every time we miss
what?
A call.
He's only 40.
Can I talk?
Now, that was when he was angry. That was angry Morris. Now,
George Brett Morris.
Now, Michael, you didn't happen to be playing Call of Duty last night, were you?
I don't play video games.
Because Clint Frazier was playing with Daniel Jones.
And a turkey.
Daniel Jones.
Of the Giants.
With a high ankle sprain?
And, well, Call of Duty is a video game, Michael. You don't have to play with your feet.
I understand.
Let's listen. Clint Frazier supposedly took some shots at the Astros, and they're cheating ways while playing Call of Duty.
Oh, my God. What? Look at my stream. Hold on. Two bangs, slider. All right, curveball is coming. Peter. All right. I might hit a home run because I know what pitch is coming. Nope. Someone didn't mess up the sign. Here we go. Someone right. Said they're
going to... Dude, they can't, right?
He
said two bangs was a curveball and he banged twice in the year.
You sure that's really Daniel Jones? Because the name was Danny Dimes. I don't think he calls himself Danny Dimes. There's no way that was Daniel Jones.
The article I read said he was playing with Giants rookie quarterback Daniel Jones.
I find it hard to believe
that. But
Daniel Jones' nickname in Call of Duty would be Danny Dimes. There's no way.
But you're going to put kind of a goofy name on there.
No
I mean,
way.
It's not like he's referring to himself like Mr. October, like in the third person.
Do you really
it's not
believe
the same thing.
That and this is good, boy, this will cause controversy. He has... Let's put these things together. He has a high ankle sprain.
That's right.
All right? He's going to miss a game for the first time in the NFL with an injury.
Likely.
He's from Duke.
Yeah.
One of the top academic institutions in all the country. You really think he's settling down all of that and he's playing Call of Duty?
You don't get video games, do you?
Yeah,
no,
this is what kids do. I mean,
this is what they do.
According to CBS Sports, it's Daniel Jones.
The fact that he went to Duke... Why would he play video games? You don't get video games.
That didn't even make sense.
I said all of these things. First of all, if you listened to this show today, Peter, you'd be really impressed.
No, I heard what you said, but do you think that like when you're playing Call of Duty, you're actually going and fighting?
Yeah.
What do you think? Really?
You're the one who doesn't make any sense.
If I had a high ankle sprain and I knew that I was going to be out for a while, I think I'd be depressed. I wouldn't be sitting there playing Call of Duty.
But you are out of your mind.
You don't get video games.
Hold on. Just, what do you think? Hold on.
That's the reason that you play video games.
And you
games.
Think Daniel Jones, in the middle of this abomination of a football season, he finds out he might have to miss a week or two, and he goes home, and he's so despondent, he just sits staring at the kitchen table. He can't pick up a controller and play a video game.
I would also like to know the connection between Daniel and Clint. I'd like to know
They're
that.
Very close.
How? Tell me how, Mr. ENN. Well, how are they close?
I don't
how
know.
Did they ever meet?
Is it that unlikely that two athletes in New York could ever meet?
It was just a coincidence that he has a friend named Daniel Jones, and they just played it off that it was the Daniel.
Well, then that's CBS's sports fault for me reporting
the story. But I want to understand.
Well, you should be using other people's information.
But I want to get to the bottom of the fact that, all right, it wasn't Daniel Jones, but not because he had a high ankle sprain and he went to Duke.
Right, that's my point.
You could play video games. That's actually the reason. I can't practice. I can't work out. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kill some time as a 22-year-old kid and play some video games.
This is going to get me in a lot of trouble, but I've gone down the road, so I might as well run it over the
edge. Keep going.
Do you believe that the higher percentage of people that play video games went to Ivy League schools or didn't?
Oh, this is so dumb.
This really?
This
where are you going?
Let's turn off your mic.
I think it's equal.
No, it's not.
It is not the level of intelligence.
No, this is as bad. Earlier today, what was the thing you just got so? Oh, you thought the last championship that happened in New York was in 2009?
Because everything centers around the Yankees.
This is worse.
And now you're saying you think kids who go to Ivy League schools don't play Call of Duty?
I said the greater percentage. Yeah, there are people from Ivy League schools that play. The greater percentage would be people that probably didn't go to Ivy League schools.
So what do you think Ivy League school kids do?
Yeah, they program video games.
Yeah, and make money off of them.
But you don't think they play them?
I think they make legal briefs. They're trying to invent stuff.
Oh, come on. They're all went around, but look at me. Snorkel jackets, not talking to anybody, and just studying.
Sparkle jackets.
Snorkel jackets.
I didn't go to an Ivy League school.
No, but you went to Fordham, which is the Ivy League of the Bronx.
You're gonna take a broadside shot.
I'm not taking a shot. I respect Fordham.
I love what you just said, though.
I went to Ramapo. Look at me.
You went to Ramapo.
I went to Ramapo and played video games. Michael, when I was working at this radio station, I was playing by Vice City. If I didn't have two kids and married at 51 years old, I'd be hauling ass home to go back and play Halo or Half-Life until it was 3 o'clock in the morning.
And you know what? It doesn't surprise me a bit.
That'll do it for ENN.
This is you thinking that like every heavy metal album comes
look
with
at our lives.
Withdrawals.
All the phone lines are green, and I'm guessing it's people calling up to rip.
I've got to tell you one thing. The people don't know this. The two of you, like I sit here during commercials, thinking about what we're going to talk about next.
Yeah, you're professional.
Yeah. And you're playing a little baby hockey game in there on a television screen.
It's called NHL 94 or
NHL 95. It's disgraceful. It's a waste of time. It's not moving forward. You're not moving forward.
So you're looking down at all people who play video games.
No, you two, when you're supposed to be working. You should be playing video games when you should get high ankle sprain rehab.
I'm telling you. I wish I could just go back in time and play like Half-Life for like 4 hours.
I'll tell you what, this is a bad take for Michael. And I'm looking forward to the next segment of the show.
The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. Also, the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Bring it, everybody. You know the number on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.